Hello, my name is Jennifer. I am a sophomore student from Coral Academy High School. A style of work that interests me is normally nature-related things or anything dealt with emotions on a more negative scale. My topic idea is resolved around the feeling of fear and what fear causes a person to do. The work that I have chosen to use consists of Fear Projection, which is a poem by me, a poem revolving around fear and what it can do to a person. The next poem is Fear of Happiness by A.E. Stallings, which is a poem of uncertainty of things and just how that feels. Another poem is Opposite of Nostalgia by Eric Gamalinda. It's a poem looking back at past, but not in a more negative sense, in fear of what had happened. Another poem is No More Shine, a poem by me. It's a poem about having loss and just how that feels. Another poem called Broken, another one by me. It's a poem of the concepts of broken and what it's like to be broken. A short flash fiction story called Mosh Pit by Ian. It's about a schoolboy riddled with fears who saves a girl who's being bullied, and just his response to that. Fear Projection. Poem written by Jennifer. It was a dark night when she sat alone, huddled in blankets, awaiting the unknown. When in through the window, it appeared. She screamed and she shook at what she feared. And it crept closer, closer now. Almost upon her, she screamed her vow. The very next morning, as she arose, she looked to the right, the left, then froze. There was no scream this time around, as she gaped at what she found. To the left of the bed was a mirror, but his reflection was not her, and there was it clearer. Fear of Happiness by A.E. Stallings. Looking back, it's something I've always had. As a kid, it was a glass-floored elevator. I crouched at the bottom of, my eyes squinched tight. Or staircase whose gaps I was afraid I'd slip through, though someone always said I'd be all right. Just don't look down, or see, it's not so bad. The nothing rising underfoot. Then later, the high dive at the pool. The treehouse perch. Ferris wheels. Balconies. Cliffs. A penthouse view. The merest thought of airplanes. You can call it fear heights. A horror of the deep. But it isn't the unfathomable fall that makes me giddy, makes my stomach lurch. It's that the ledge itself invents the leap. The Opposite of Nostalgia by Eric Gamalinda. You are running away from everyone who loves you, from your family, from old lovers, from friends. They run after you with accumulations of a former life, copper earrings, plates of noodles, banners of many lost revolutions. You love to say the trees are naked now, because it never happens in your country. This is a mystery from which you will never recover, and yes, the trees are naked now. Everything that still breathes in them lies silent and stark and waiting. You love October most of all. There is no word for so much splendor. This, too, is a source of consolation. Between you and memory, everything is water. Names of the dead, or saints, or history. There is a realm in which, no, forget it. It's still too early to make anyone understand. A man drives a stake through his own heart. And afterwards, the opposite of nostalgia begins to make sense. He stops raking the leaves, and the leaves take over, and again he has learned to let go. No More Shine. Poem. Written by Jennifer. Time grew on, and the light could no longer shine. The darkness grew, consuming what was once great, losing grip on what it once called mine. All its care no longer was divine. What could have been no longer had a date. Time grew on, and the light could no longer shine. It was all unplanned, there was never a sign. The hope that light brought was now put on wait, losing grip on what it once called mine. Too much strain, it was forced to resign. That light became weep, time to fixate. Time grew on, and the light could no longer shine. Without the light, everything began to confine, both gleam and gloom, something to differentiate, losing grip on what it once called mine. No more of a guide, its absence was genuine. Will its glow be seen again, out of chance or by fate? Time grew on, and the light could no longer shine, losing grip on what it once called mine. Broken by Jennifer. A broken heart, torn apart, will still long to be again strong. A broken soul is but a whole of someone entirely who has reached finally. A broken mind does not bind one to be a broken person, agree? A broken of anything, try if you dare, it will always bring the option to repair. Mosh Pit, written by Ian. I stood motionless, watching a girl get beat down in the middle of the hallway. She cried out in pain with every hit to her body, yet she didn't cry for help. I shut my eyes and turned around. I closed my locker in the process. I took a step to the side before I felt something tug on my pant leg. The girl clung onto me for dear life. She looked at me with fear in her eyes. One of the attackers noticed this and trampled the girl's arm. She released her grip on my leg, then curled up into a ball. I fear being relied upon. I've always viewed myself as someone not worthy of anyone's attention. If anyone thinks of caring for me, that means I have to care for them too. I just can't do that, though. She doesn't know me, and I don't know her. I could turn tail and run and not feel guilty about it. She's already given up. I have no place to give her a false sense of hope. And so I walked away, not giving her a second look. I counted my footsteps as I increased the distance between us. The sounds of the mosh pit invaded my ears. The thuds and punts of every subtle noise you can make when harming the human body ran through my head. Cracks and smacks and the auditory cues of bodily harm. I couldn't run away from it. I was scared. Scared for myself, scared for my well-being, scared for her. I turned the corner and slammed my fist into the wall. People passing by stared at me in confusion before turning their attention to the fight. The whispers and giggles triggered my fight-or-flight response. I could turn tail and run and not feel guilty about it, I thought. The more I tried to debate to myself that it wasn't my problem, the more I convinced myself that it was. But I was afraid. I was afraid of it all. She reached out to me. I walked away. She reached out to me, and all I did was walk away. I picked up my bag and turned around. People were laughing and screaming, blocking the hallway. I pushed through the crowd to my locker. I moved up and opened the locker door. I set down my bags. I picked up the large thermos I had in the back. I closed my locker door once more. I'm really going to regret this, aren't I? I thought. I walked into the eye of the storm. There she was, laying on the ground. I watched as the attackers beat her down relentlessly. She wasn't fighting back. There was no retaliation from her. I moved to the side of the crowd and picked the girl who was kicking her head. With one swing of my fully loaded thermos, I knocked her to the ground. She landed headfirst on the floor, shutting everyone up. The attacker stopped attacking, and the crowd stopped cheering. Crickets sounded throughout the hallway, and I could hear the blood flowing through my veins. The girl on the floor looked up to see the body of one of her attackers lying directly in front of her. Dazed and confused, she stood up and looked at me. She looked around at the stunned attackers and snuck away behind them. There was a high-pitched scream from behind the crowd. I watched as a teacher barreled through the students over to the unconscious kid. The attackers began to lament over their fallen comrade and point fingers at me. The teacher, foaming at the mouth, grabbed my arm. She yanked me down the hallway, making me drop the thermos. It clanged on the floor like it had the attacker's head. I began to realize what was worth it and what wasn't. The moment I had struck the attacker with the thermos, something inside me tightened up. I felt a knot in my stomach. I felt like I was going to throw up. I knew I was going to regret it, I told myself, and yet I still did it, I continued. Is this really overcoming my fears? I questioned. The teacher who held onto my arm with the iron grip stopped outside of a classroom. She turned around with tears in her eyes. I froze in place and prepared myself for the verbal beating I was about to receive. I paused. She cleared her throat. She opened her mouth. I punched her in the mouth. I ran down the hallway. Several kids were screaming around me, all laughing and pointing at the incapacitated teacher. I sped down the hallway, bobbing and weaving through the dozens of kids that were walking into next classes. I ran to the exit door and burst through like an escaped convict. The mosh pit in which I once felt so righteous now felt so far. It was not worth it. Through all of the emotions and feelings I had to ignore, I tried to face my fears. It was not worth it, and now I run from the fears that once befell me. I run from the fears that once befall me. I run from my own naivety, and at the end, I didn't even get a thank you.
Thank you.
all the works that I have selected have the concept of fear involved in each and every one of them. They all either are based around fear or what fear does to a person. The message I feel they give off is that fear is in all of us and it's normal. How we choose to react to fear is what it really all depends on. Each poem are on different topics about fear, but they all tie back to fear. Despite being on different topics, they all represent a certain idea. While doing this project, I learned more about how what we feel about things depends on how we react to them. And I learned how fear really affects us and what we do in our everyday life. I also learned about the formatting of the text and how the formatting of the text resembles the topic itself. Some of the poems I chose to read much slower in a certain pace, which helped evaluate the idea better when heard out loud.